Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued. Today, we're looking at, well, a really unique source. It uses a vibrant, maybe even unexpected, lens to explore identity and spirituality.
That's right. The material for this deep dive is an article called The Sacred Spark of Queer Creation, what Tinkerbell taught us about being ourselves, and it's from the Church of Tinkerbell. Yeah, it's a pretty fascinating piece. It really anchors its ideas in this very specific, almost iconic metaphor.
Absolutely. And our mission here is really to unpack the core ideas in this text. We want to understand how it connects, you know, queer identity, spirituality, and this whole concept of creation all through Tinkerbell.
Right.
What insights does this article offer you, the listener, about selfhood and belonging, but specifically from this viewpoint?
And we'll be exploring these ideas, presenting and analyzing the perspective the text offers, and uses a lot of metaphor, spiritual language. It's all drawn directly from the source material you gave us, so let's just jump in.
Okay, let's start where the source starts. It paints this really powerful, almost poignant image. Mm-hmm. It talks about children being told to quiet their sparkle, you know, to dull their colors, hide their magic. It immediately sets up this idea of like an innate self being suppressed.
And what's really compelling right away, and kind of central to the argument in the source, is the counter idea. That sparkle, that light, it didn't actually die.
Right.
The text says it persisted. It just whispered, flickered, glowed faintly, you know, under the surface.
That persistence, that kind of refusal to be put out, that's what the source then defines as queer joy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't just stop at joy. The text really elevates it, saying point blank that this joy, this defiant shimmer, is sacred.
And this leads straight to what the source presents as its foundational sacred truth.
Mm-mm.
Like a core belief from this perspective.
Which is?
Your true self is not a mistake.
Yeah.
It is a miracle. So framing your authentic identity as a miracle, it just fundamentally challenges any idea that it's wrong or broken.
And connecting all of this, Tinkerbell arrives. The source says she has been trying to tell us that all along. It positions her as a kind of messenger, an embodiment of this truth.
It's definitely intriguing why this specific source sees her this way. Mm-hmm. Why Tinkerbell for this idea of the sacred, persistent self.
Okay, so following that foundational idea, the source then really digs into why it sees Tinkerbell as embodying what it calls queer magic.
It does. It assigns a very specific set of traits to her.
Yeah, and the list itself is really dynamic, isn't it? Fierce and tender, radiant and stubborn, emotional and electric.
All feeling, all fire, all flight.
Exactly. These aren't passive things. They're active, sometimes even sort of contradictory forces within one being.
And a key point the source makes is how this means she doesn't fit into boxes. She bursts them open with glitter.
Ah.
And that's where the direct parallel to queerness really snaps into focus in the text.
Right. This is where the source draws the line explicitly. It says, queerness is like that too. It talks about refusing to be confined, living in those in-between spaces, specifically naming the shimmering borders of gender, love, and identity.
And the text says, this kind of existence, it doesn't need permission.
No,
it simply is. And then these words, beautiful, baffling, undeniable.
That word baffling is interesting there.
It is. It kind of acknowledges that maybe this is confusing to some people, but it still affirms its truth.
Yeah.
The source also brings up Tinkerbell's nonverbal communication. Like, she doesn't speak in words, but somehow people who really listen get her.
Okay.
And the text connects this to what it calls an enchanted paradox. It sees in queer folks, often unseen, maybe unheard by the wider world,
right?
Yet deeply understood, deeply recognized by those who genuinely see them.
So understanding goes beyond just words or being obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And the source wraps this section up with a really powerful statement. And that, dear Spark, is holy.
Mm-hmm. It frames this whole way of being, the boundary bursting, the being understood without words, as sacred.
Which feels like a natural bridge to the next big theme the source tackles.
It does. Queerness, not just as identity, but as creative power.
Okay. And the source sets up a conflict here pretty clearly. It paints this picture of the external world saying to queer people, you're not supposed to be here.
Right. But the response described in the text, It isn't giving up. It's not despair.
Yeah.
It's a declaration from queerness itself saying, then we'll make a new world.
Wow.
And this is framed not just as, you know, coping or surviving. It's framed as creation, a radical sacred act.
Hmm.
The source elevates just being yourself into something world-making.
So how does the source say this creation actually happens? It gives the specific examples, right, of this radical sacred act through authentic selfhood.
Yes. It lists things that might seem everyday but are presented as profound acts.
Mm-hmm.
Things like claiming your truth. Dressing in colors maybe others are afraid of.
Okay.
Kissing who you love openly.
Yeah.
Choosing your own name. Saying, this is my body and it is mine.
And the source argues these aren't just small personal things. They're described as weaving a new universe, one thread of wonder at a time.
Yeah, it's the buildup, the cumulative effect of all these individual acts of saying yes to yourself.
Yeah.
That's what builds something new, according to this text.
But the source is also realistic about it. It acknowledges this creation isn't always, you know, easy.
Definitely not. It says sometimes it means unmaking what hurts us.
Yeah.
And mourning the myths we were given so we can write truer ones. It really gets that there's often this deconstruction work needed first.
Right, before the new thing can really take root. And it finishes this part with these incredibly powerful metaphors for the authentic self that comes out of this.
Yeah, what were they?
It calls the authentic self a spell of healing, a defiant hymn, a living prayer to possibility. I mean, these aren't just descriptions. They give the self real active power in this worldview.
Which leads right into the next thing the source tackles.
Yeah.
That common feeling of being labeled too much.
Yeah.
The text lists the specific criticisms it says the world uses to, quote, shame the sacred.
Yes, it lists them out clearly. Too loud, too soft, too expressive, too confusing, too emotional, too bold.
Basically, all the ways people try to diminish or suppress that sacred spark we started with.
But then the source brings in Pride Month. And not just as, like, a historical commemoration.
No, it presents it as a powerful reminder against those labels. According to this text, pride is there to remind us. We were never too much.
Okay.
We were too free for a world afraid of its own reflection. It completely flips the script. The problem isn't being too much, it's the world's fear of freedom.
That's quite a reframe. And I found the way the source describes pride gatherings really compelling. It gives them this spiritual weight.
How so?
It calls them gathering at the altar of authenticity, dancing in defiance of shame.
Wow.
And it talks about lighting candles, not just for memory, but to guide the ones still trying to find themselves in the dark. Mm-hmm. It really frames these community actions as, well, sacred rituals, acts of self-affirmation, solidarity.
And then, bringing that central metaphor right back around, the source frames pride itself as pixie dust.
That's such a striking image. Yeah. What does the source say this pixie dust does?
It's presented as this source of community uplift,
yep.
You know, a reminder. Let it lift you. Let it remind you you are not alone.
Hmm.
It's like the collective energy supporting the individual spark.
And it directly pushes back against those shaming messages with these really strong affirmations.
Yes,
like, you
yes.
are never broken. You are not an accident. It's just a flat-out rejection of the idea that your true nature is somehow wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the source offers this beautiful, almost poetic description of what you are made of. It goes beyond simple labels.
What does it say?
It says you're made of starlight, laughter, thunder, softness, and stubborn grace. It paints this picture of the self as complex, powerful, elemental even.
So with all that complexity, all that power, the final call to action from the source about this, about tying back to Tinkerbell, it's incredibly clear.
Hmm.
Remember what Tinkerbell would do. She'd sparkle harder. And then the directive. And so should you.
It's pretty direct.
Yeah.
Just embrace that inner light, that sacred spark, and amplify it. No apologies.
Yeah. And the piece ends with a series of blessings that feel like a really powerful summary of its whole message, its whole spirit.
They do tie it all together. Can you read them?
Yeah. Blessed be the flame that never went out. Blessed be the self that finally said yes. Blessed be the queer, the bright, the brave, the unbecoming and becoming. Blessed be you.
Mm. Those really capture it. The endurance of the spark, the power of saying yes to yourself, the sacredness of the journey, both the letting go, the unbecoming, and the becoming.
Well, so just to sum up this deep dive into this particular source text, we've really explored its specific perspective on what it calls the sacred spark of queer creation.
Right. Viewing authentic selfhood, not just as identity, but as this radical world-making act.
And woven all the way through, Tinkerbell serves as this powerful, almost spiritual metaphor for unapologetic, vibrant existence. And importantly, all of this comes directly from the unique viewpoint of this text.
And understanding a perspective like this, it's valuable because it shows you a very specific cultural and spiritual way of thinking about identity creation challenging norms.
Yeah.
It highlights how communities use really rich language, metaphor, even drawing from unexpected places like pop culture, to talk about deep truths about themselves, find empowerment, build connection. It's a fascinating angle for anyone interested in diverse belief systems or just the different ways people define themselves and find belonging.
So here's a final thought based on the themes in the source for you to consider. If, as this text suggests, denying your true self quiets a sacred spark, what really is the nature of that magic, that sparkle that gets unleashed when authenticity is finally fully defiantly embraced?
Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.